The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Chad Dotson. Another of our hosts is Joel Luckup. He just happens to be on the line with me right now. How are you doing today, Joel?
I am. I'm right here. I'm on the line. We're going through the tubes.
Through the tubes? I don't know how this thing works, but hopefully we can figure out how to get it recorded and get it out to everyone. This is the 118th episode of Red Leg Nation Radio. Last week's episode with me and Bill Lack was very, very... we titled it Dark, Darker, Darkest. We're sort of in the throes of depression there a little bit. The Reds have won 4 out of 5. Are we out of this depression yet, or how are we feeling, Joel?
I don't know. The Diamondbacks aren't a particularly good team this year, so I'm not going to get too optimistic. It's nice that they're actually winning, so I'm not going to complain about it. But, you know, they got some testers coming up this week. The Giants are in first place, and then they got the Phillies who are struggling. But then they got the Dodgers for 4 after that. So it's going to be a tough homestand. Hopefully a fun one, though.
I'm really interested to watch this series against the Giants. The Giants, surprising. We've come to expect the Giants to be all pitching, no hitting, and you know they won 2 World Series largely on that strategy. Their offense pretty good this year. Mike Morse has been a big help to that offense, and be interesting to see how, you know, because the Reds pitching staff we've talked about all year has been pretty good, starting with I think Homer Bailey in Game 1. It'll be really interesting to see. They got the best record in the league. They have the largest division lead of any of the division leaders out there in the National League West. So gonna be. You're right. They're not the Diamondbacks, but wins are wins. I like wins.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to belittle the Diamondbacks. I mean,
you just belittled them.
Okay. Well, whatever. They suck. the hard part of a baseball season is trying not to get too high and not to get too low. And you know, maybe that makes me an annoying fan, but I try to stay even keel. Now, if they sweep the Giants, or if they win 2 out of 3 from the Giants, and maybe they, out of the 10-game homestand, they go 7-3 or 8-2, then I'll be excited.
Yeah, there you go. You know, you hit on something that I've said in a different form many times over the years, which is that no team is ever as good as they look on their best day, and they're never as bad as they look on their worst day. And so we can hope this is the start of a new era for this 2014 Reds. Let's not get too excited about winning 4 out of 5 over the Diamondbacks. So, some interesting news in Reds world this week in Red Leg Nation this week. Ryan Ludwig, you know, Ryan Ludwig's been the starter in left field, and Brian Price went to him and basically told him left field no longer belongs to you. He's going to do some mixing and matching. He's going to work Chris Heise in, Skip Schumacher in. To left field along with Ludwig, and I heard that Ludwig had a fairly salty interview on television this weekend. I didn't actually see that, but that may have something to do with it. I understand you've got some thoughts on this news about Ryan Ludwig.
Well, I'm not as anti Ryan Ludwig as a lot of people seem to be, and maybe I just run with a weird crowd. I don't know. I don't, and part of that is I don't see the alternatives as being that different. They're better players in different ways, and they're worse players in certain ways. So I don't necessarily see it as a matter of, hey, you know, Heise should be playing more than Ludwig because Heise can do this and this. Yeah, but Heise can't do that and that Ludwig can. So, I'm okay with there being a platoon. I don't think any of the players that would be playing left field probably deserve to be playing 75% of the time. You know, so it's a matter of that position is probably going to require some good studying of the pitchers that are coming in and playing matchups as best as you possibly can. You know, because they're all, you know, well, I guess Schumacher's left-handed, but they're all, the rest of them are right-handed. Well, I guess Ludwig's left-handed, or Lutz is left-handed too, isn't he? Well, I'll just shut up then. There's two lefties and two righties. But you're not going to platoon, you're not going to do a straight-up platoon, and you know, when you got four guys. I can't say that I'm excited that any of them would be starting. It's not like I'm going to look at the lineup one day and be, oh, good, he's starting today. You know, you just got to hope that you get the right matchups for your guys and the best players out there. I mean, the you know, Ludwig had a pretty good game on Sunday. So hopefully, you know, that's a trend for whoever's playing left field, just ends up having a good day, a good game the day they're out there. It's not uncommon for teams to play platoons at positions. You know, we don't see a lot straight up platoons in Cincinnati. We haven't seen very many of them lately outside of the catcher position. So it'll be nice to see them really not be locked into given one player, you know, exceeding number of starts that they don't necessarily deserve.
Well, you know, I am anti Ryan Ludwig. I'll just say it. But I think the hope here, and of course hope's not a strategy, but the hope here is that Brian Price can figure out some way to mix and match that'll be better. The left field's been just miserable this year, and I don't pin that entirely on Ludwig. Nobody's been good out there. The problem we've got is, as you touched on, the Reds don't have a good option out there. You know, Ludwig's not a good option for left fielder on a contending team. Schumacher's not a good option. Heisey's not a good option. Lutz is really not a good option. None of these guys are guys you'd really necessarily want out there. The hope is that they each have their own, you know, various skills and abilities, and they can mix and match depending on who's pitching. You know, Schumacher has some on-base skills. Heisey's defense, I was looking today, has been, if you can trust 2 months worth of defensive data, especially in the limited amount he's played, but he's been pretty good defensively, and, you know, he's got a little bit of pop. And, you know, these guys all have various strengths, none of which add up to a single guy that could be a guy that we'd be comfortable with in left. But, you know, maybe Price can figure out some way to mix and match them. I think that's the best hope for the rest of any production at left field, in my opinion, because leaving Ludwig out there 75% of the time just wasn't going to get it done. He's not the player that we saw a couple years ago. I don't think he's ever going to be that guy again. His power is just almost non-existent these days, which is really what I'd hoped for out of Ludwig. So,
well, it's funny that you say that, because you know what's funny is that there's only five guys on the team who have a higher slugging percentage than Ryan Ludwig this year. So maybe his power is not what it's been, but there's nobody on this team that's had any pop, really.
Compared to his peers, yeah, in the clubhouse. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I mean, and I'm not sticking up for Ludwig saying he's got any pop.
Right.
What I'm saying is that this team has a dearth of it outside of maybe three or four guys. And obviously, Jay Bruce is going to start hitting here eventually. I mean, he's got to, right? He can't be this bad forever.
I hope not.
But if anything, Jay Bruce is proof of why players should go on rehab assignments.
Yeah.
Because trying to get your timing back at the major league level is not an ideal situation. And I understand part of the reason they did that was because Votto had just gone out and they were trying to get something to spark the offense. I get that. I'm not angry that they didn't, you know, give Jay Bruce a rehab assignment.
I might have made the same decision if I were in there.
Especially at that time.
Right.
It's just, I think it's pretty clear, especially with somebody like Jay who seems to get his timing off frequently. I think he would have probably been a good candidate. I mean, and I think Joey's a good candidate to go on a rehab assignment because these guys are, you know, it's really important to him. You know, Brandon Phillips might be able to hop off the DL and be the same kind of hitter he normally is. But I think, Joey and Jay are the kind of guys that need to see pitching and get their timing going a little better.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to talk about Bruce in the context of this outfield, but does it surprise you? Before we get back into that, I'm going to digress for a moment because
that's
what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking through some numbers today, looking at Fangraphs WAR, wins above replacement. And does it surprise you that Chris Heisey and Billy Hamilton are tied for third on this team in wins above replacement in terms of the hitters?
Yeah, no, and I bet most of their value.
Yes.
And you know, not having to look at the numbers, I would also assume that Billy Hamilton has a little bit of value on the base pass.
He gets bumped with his base running. Yes, that's almost all of their value, frankly.
So, it's not completely surprising, especially when you think about the, the four best hitters on the team. Two of them are catchers that aren't playing full time, so they're going to lose. I mean, although Brian Pena seems to be playing a little more full time now that Votto's been out, but they're going to lose a little bit of value just by their drop in playing time as well. So, no, it doesn't completely surprise me. I think if anything, though, seeing that would be a big red flag for this team. If you had said that at the early in the year that those were going to be would you say they were third and fourth?
Well, they're tied for third.
Tied for third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. My first thought was just ugh. Ugh.
Is it Todd Frazier's probably number one, right?
Frazier's number one.
And I'm going to guess. You're going to let me
guess.
Let's
hear it. I'm going to let you guess.
I'm guessing that Mesoraco does not have enough playing time. So
Devin Mesoraco is number two. Sorry.
Is he? Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah. Well, that's
I interrupted you there. You're going to guess, and I saw you going the wrong way.
I wasn't going to guess Mesoraco. I was going to say Phillips, but I'm guessing Phillips is fifth then?
No, Joey Votto's fifth.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but I do remember the top five. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting.
I guess Brandon Phillips and his .293 on base percentage is probably having a little trouble breaking into the top five.
Yeah, he's not. Phillips has not been good this year. This 87. We talk about WRC plus weighted runs created plus 87. Phillips, and that's not good. But I think that the offense has been bad, and we want to. I guess we can hammer Phillips if we want, but the culprit, in my opinion, is this outfield. This outfield has been. Frankly. Ludwig and Jay Bruce are both negatives when it comes to wins above replacement. Hamilton's been the most productive. Again, as we said, that's his legs and his glove mostly. But listen to this. As a group, the entire outfield, this is everybody that's played outfield for the Reds this year, .233 average, .306 on-base percentage, .341 slugging percentage, 11 total homers through 2 months out of the outfield, 79 weighted runs created plus. Does that make your head hurt as much as it does mine? Because we can blame Phillips, we can blame Cozart, who's been off at the plate, but there's your problem with the Reds offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear. And what's sad is they're not even last in outfield OPS in the National League.
Oh gosh!
I just want to make fun of the Cubs for 1 second.
Thank you. Yes. Excellent.
We all love Jay Bruce, and we all know – Jay Bruce is an all-star caliber player. But, man, I mean, he's 6 for his last 60.
Yeah, it's
awful. Or something
awful.
Like that. Or 8 for his last 60. Maybe it's 8 for his last 60. Yeah. 8 for his last 60. And that goes back before he was on the DL. So he hasn't had an extra base hit since the middle of April. It's bad.
We love Bruce, but he goes through slumps. But wow,
this is close to the worst slump of his career, and he's been in some pretty bad slumps. But they usually don't last 60 plate appearances. Not at this level. Usually 60 plate appearances, he may be batting like 175, right? 8 for 60 is not, I should have done the math in my head. It's like what, 120 or 133. That's what it is. That's 133 batting average. That's not good.
That's
not good, especially because none of those hits are home runs or extra base hits. I think they're all singles. It's bad, and he really needs to get it going, especially with Votto being out of the lineup. So,
yeah, with Votto out of the lineup, obviously Frazier's been great, Mesoraco's been great, but that's it when it comes to above average offensive players right now with Votto out. And maybe I'm overly optimistic. Sometimes I try to be. Maybe that's a reason that we can be hopeful about the rest of the season. Bruce is going to get better. You got to think Hamilton, we've seen flashes, and the more he learns, maybe he'll be better the last 4 months of the season. And maybe if they can mix and match left field, this offense, sure, they've scored more runs only than, I think the Padres are the only team that scored fewer runs than the Reds, but, maybe they'll get better.
One thing that I was surprised actually is They're actually 8-8 since Vaadu last played. And that's surprising mainly because the pitching hasn't been that great. I mean, they've given up like 4.2 or 4.3 runs per game, which is high for this team for where they've been this year. And they're only scoring like 2.6 or 2.8 runs per game. So, you know, there's some – they've been lucky. You know, they've had some of their luck turn a little bit, you know, and that their luck turning to 8-8, which is kind of disappointing. But, you know, if they can add good performance to good luck, perhaps maybe they can run off a few games here. And, I mean, it's going to be tough. You know, like we said, they got to play the Giants for 3 and then they got to play the Dodgers for 4. You know, so it's going to be tough, but this homestand, is a good opportunity for them to build some confidence if they can win a few games against these good teams.
Yeah, and, you know, baseball's a funny game. They could. I mean, you never know. The worst team's going to win 40% of the games. The best team's going to lose 40%. So, you know, maybe they can get on a little run here. Maybe they're already on a little run. Maybe they can do it against some good teams. And if so, we keep saying this, but hang around. Jay Bruce gets himself healthy and back on track. Joey Votto comes back eventually, you know. They're not completely out of the race here, you know.
Oh,
am I doing this? Am I
you
really
have
doing
no
this?
Confidence in what you're saying, do you?
I don't. I'm trying to figure out a way to be optimistic about this club when they've given us very little over the first 2 months to be excited about. This team has not been a fun team to watch. Let's call it like it is.
Yeah, and I mean, and especially the offense. I mean, the offense has been pretty pathetic, and. You know, it's not going to help. I mean, the Giants actually have pretty good pitching. They're second in the league and runs allowed per game. So, it's going to be a tough go. We're trying to be optimistic. Yes. It wouldn't be surprising if this homestand is a disaster. You know, we like it. We choose to be optimistic, right?
That's what we say.
We choose to be optimistic. They still have a run somewhere in them. The question is whether or not, you know, if say they go 10-2 or something like that, will it be enough to buoy the fact that, you know, 12 games isn't a significant portion of the season, and what are they going to do and the rest of that, you know, the rest of the season beyond that? Because, you know, some point they're going to have a good run. They're not an abysmal team. They're just a flawed team. And so the difference there is that, you know, an abysmal team may not have a run in them. The Cubs probably their best run is going to be, you know, 6-3 or something like that. You know, the Reds are a good team or a good team with a huge flaw, and that's their offense. And if they can manage to have, you know, a good stretch where they score, you know, 4 or 5 runs a game over, you know, several games, you know, a few 1 or 2 runs mixed in here or there, they could have a stretch where they win 10 of 12 or, you know, 10 of 15 or something like that. And will that be enough to kind of start pushing them back up over 500 and maybe have them hanging around? I still think that they're, you know, max 87 win team, even if they have a great stretch. But, you know, you're threatening then. And if you're threatening, then who knows, right? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You see, we're calling back some of our previous conversations. Who knows? Yeah. Trying to be optimistic. The Reds are 3 under. They're 7 games out as we record this. You know, the closer to first than the Dodgers are. Now that's really not much of a fair comparison, but still, you know, they're not completely out of the race. What are they? 3 or 4 games out of the wild card? You know. For what that's worth, and that's, you know, you're sort of pinning your hopes on. Well, I don't like pinning my hopes on maybe being able to sneak into the second wild card spot, but you know, it's not time to give up yet, I guess. And we keep saying that every week. And how many weeks straight are we going to say not time to give up yet? We may go all the way to the end of the season and say not give up yet, but until they're mathematically eliminated. But boy, you know, you watch them day in and day out. And you watch, you know, Roger Bernardino batting, you know, 6th in the lineup, playing first base, and you start to think this team looks historically bad. But you know, you look up and they're, you know, they're not as far out as you'd expect from a team that plays Roger Bernardino at first base.
Well, and obviously, I mean, they in terms of Reds history, they are close to being historically bad. You know, they had one of the longest streaks of not even being able to score 6 runs in a game.
Yeah,
they
offensively, right.
More
yeah.
than 6. They haven't scored more than 6 runs in a game in forever. Good teams have those outbursts, and you know, it's funny, in the past, I feel like past seasons I've always been arguing with people who have said, well, this offense is terrible. They're a terrible offense. And then I would show them numbers that say, you know, well, they score, nobody scores 3 runs or less often than them. And nobody scores more than 6 runs more often than they do or whatever. You know, variety of statistics like that. And, well, they're all, you know, their numbers are all based on scoring a lot of runs in a few games. Well, that's what good teams do.
Right.
Good offenses don't score 6 runs every game. Well, great offenses might, but they don't. A team that averages 4.5 runs or 5 runs a game doesn't score 4 or 5 runs every game. They score 9 runs a game, and then they maybe score 1 or 2 in a game. But it's those 9 run games that you hardly ever lose, especially when you have good pitching. And the Reds just haven't been getting up to that point where you know you're out of danger of actually losing the game. They just don't do that very often, and so they end up losing a lot, or they end up having stressful games that end up being one-run games, which, by the way, they're 10-13 in one-run games now, which is a lot better than what they were, which was like, what, 3-12 or something? So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that was the exact number, but yeah. So, you know, the baseball season's a long season. So you
know, it is a long season, but, you know, I'm trying to look for reasons for optimism. You're not really giving them to me. They're, you know, second from the bottom, or they're next to, you know, just ahead of San Diego in runs scored. They're only better than the Cubs and Padres in among National League clubs anyway, and on base percentage.
There are a lot of outs in their lineup. On a good day, there are a lot of outs in their lineup, and on a bad day, you know, there are a lot of outs. They are still the same team that got they had the minimum number of batters faced versus Josh Coleman. They're the team that almost got had a perfect game thrown by Hyun-Jun Ryu. So it's not they're flawed, like we said. And without Joey Votto, they're especially flawed. And I know that everybody wants Joey Votto to drive in runs, but what they're really missing is Joey Votto getting on base. Joey Votto not making outs. So when you replace Joey Votto with Roger Bernardino, even though Roger Bernardino actually has a decent on-base percentage, or when you replace him with even Brian Peña, you know, you're getting an extra out every, you know, 3 or 4 plate appearances. There's an extra out in there. That starts adding up over the course of a game. You know, you get fewer at-bats for the guys in the middle of the lineup, fewer at-bats for Todd Frazier or Brandon Phillips because the guys in front of them are making outs more often than they normally would. And you need Jay Bruce to start hitting too.
Well, that's the number one key. Well, 1-1A is Bruce getting, and Bruce is going to hit better. He's got to hit better.
History would say so.
The other thing is that they got to get Votto back, and you know, there's a report this week that Votto has made, quote, good progress with his left quadriceps strain.
Mm-hmm.
And the Reds are very encouraged, and he could start a rehab assignment this week in the minor leagues. And, you know, I'm skeptical. Mm-hmm. I'm skeptical that any of that's going to happen. I don't, sort of wait and see, I guess. But say he does go out on a rehab assignment this week and say he's able to come back and, you know, Bruce starts hitting better, you get Votto back in the lineup. That's two big-time hitters that you're adding into this lineup that we're talking about, all these, automatic outs, not automatic outs necessarily, but all these
frequent outs.
Too many frequent outs. That's a big, big, big difference. A healthy Votto and a healthy Bruce both back in that lineup playing like they can play. That's a significant difference than what we've seen. So I guess if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic, as we keep talking about, if those guys can come back soon, put them back in the middle of that lineup, it's a different team, you know. Mesoraco's not going to keep hitting like he has, but Mesoraco's good. Pena's been good. Those guys are not a bad duo behind the plate offensively when you look at catchers around the league. Frazier, you know, Frazier's a 28-year-old third baseman. Probably doing a little better than I expected, but not outrageously so. And I can see someone at his age putting together a year like this all year. So, you know, that gives you – there's four guys there. If they can figure out some way with left field and Billy Hamilton starts getting a little bit better, there's an opportunity for them to score enough runs. They're not going to be an elite offense no matter how they do it, with short of trading for Giancarlo Stanton. And I don't know, they can probably trade Billy Hamilton for Mike Trout maybe. I'd take that. but other than that, they're not going to be an elite offense, but they could be good enough, you know, and the pitching's, given the state of the pitching, you know, good enough might be, well, good enough.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny because we've like completely switched our normal roles and you appear to be trying to be the optimistic one.
I'm trying so hard here. I'm really making a sincere effort. I'm failing, but I'm making an effort.
I don't disagree to a point. I think that they do have some upside in terms of getting Votto back, Bruce improving. Mesoraco, I think that Mesoraco is probably – his season numbers are going to look a little bit – you know, they're going to look down from where he's at right now. But I think he's going to be balanced enough that it's not going to be a sharp decline.
Right.
Frazier, you know, like you said, he could probably maintain or come close to maintaining what he's done. His numbers may go down a little bit, but not, I wouldn't expect them to be a sharp decline. After that, I don't see a lot of optimism behind those four guys. And, you know, maybe Brandon Phillips will improve on where he's at right now. That's not saying a lot. I don't think that he's going to put up great numbers the rest of the way. But, you know, maybe he'll get his on-base percentage back up over 300. Maybe he'll get his slugging back up over 400. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I'm just trying to say that I don't see a lot of improvement unless they make some sort of a move. And I just don't – I'm not optimistic that they're going to make a move. I don't know how they pull it off. It's unfortunate that Jesse Winker is still in high A because we could use somebody that could hit. Oh. And he hit two bombs today.
Yeah,
he's
I saw
been
that.
Tearing the cover off the ball. So,
oh, and his skill set's the exact skill set that I love for a guy. Good play discipline, some power.
Yeah, hopefully that means that because he's got a balanced discipline at the plate, that will mean that he'll be able to move a little more quickly. I hope they don't leave him in high A all year or a lot of the year. I hope he gets the move up to double A here quickly. Just so that he can, really start to progress, because it'd be nice if he was at least able to be considered for the left field spot next season. If he goes into double A and tears it up, and then you can start thinking, well, we don't have to pick up that Ludwig option.
Right.
Because we might have somebody here that is cheaper and could possibly – I mean, the Ludwig option, the ridiculous thing about it is the buyout's like $4.5 million. But it's a sunk cost, yeah. And you might be able to get better production. Now, I'm not assuming that Winker would be a better hitter. I'm saying that, you know, if he can come up to double A and show that he has that potential to be a better hitter. Because based on what I've heard about him, he's not going to be any great shakes in the outfield.
Right.
So you might want to take advantage of his young legs while they're still young is all I'm saying.
Well, and I agree. And maybe the Reds will be prompted to push him a little bit if, you know, obviously they see they've got a mess in the major leagues in left field. And if it becomes increasingly clear they're not going to be able to make a deal, and I don't know how they can because they don't have a whole lot of pieces to move to make a deal that I see. So if it becomes increasingly clear to them they're not going to be able to make a trade for a major league left fielder, maybe that'll prompt them to sort of push him more than they maybe ordinarily would have. Now, if we are wanting to, and I've been trying to be this optimist, but if I want to switch that optimist, switch to the off position, and turn the realist fan back on, here's what worries me. What worries me is that the Reds' offense has been awful. Jay Bruce is still hurting. You know, this is me looking at the glass half empty. Jay Bruce is still hurting, and who knows, may not be right the rest of the year. And so he'll improve, but maybe not. He may not be the Bruce that we had expected this year. Votto, you know, they're saying they're pleased with his progress and he's feeling much better, and they're, you know, they're encouraged. But we've been through this with Votto before. You know, what if Votto can't come back, or if he comes back, you know, at 75% the rest of the year? All of a sudden, this offense, we talk about being historically bad. This would not be an offense that any type of team that considered themselves a contender would like to have sitting out there writing into the on the lineup card every day. And so then I could see a big time, well, actually it'd be the same team, just sort of floating along like they have been. And we look up at the end of the year and they're 12 games under 500.
It'd be a lot like 2011.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't see a scenario where Votto and Bruce don't start hitting and the Reds make any kind of a run and anywhere. You know, if Votto and Bruce have the worst seasons of their career, as they both are on track to do right now, then yeah, they're going to have big issues this season. And unfortunately, that kind of a situation does not lend itself to the Reds, quote unquote, blowing stuff up or making a move to fix problems. That leads to a situation of, well, our two best hitters were hurt all year. You know, let's make the best of what we can do, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of a worst-case scenario. Way to go, Chad.
Yeah,
everybody
sorry about
is
that.
Crying at home now.
Well, I've been crying for
weeks. Glass half empty? No, more like glass fully empty, Chad.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'll wear that one. You're right. You're right that there are no scenarios under which this team improves offensively that don't include Joey Votto and Jay Bruce returning at least somewhere close to where they are. You mentioned that it sort of would work against the Reds blowing things up. My opinion, frankly, is I would be very, very surprised if the Reds just, quote-unquote, blew things up, fire sale, start over, you know, in some ways. For a couple reasons. Actually, both the reasons revolve around Bob Castellini. I think Castellini is he wants to win, and that's the thing I love about him. The guy, he wants to win. He wants to bring a winner to Cincinnati. Blowing it up would be an admission that we aren't there, you know, that there aren't just two or three pieces we could maybe move to have this team back to where we want him to be. But also, he's got the All-Star game coming in next year. I just would be very surprised if he blew it up and had a fire sale with the national spotlight going to be on Cincinnati next year. And that doesn't make really much sense from a business perspective or from a baseball perspective. That's just my opinion. That's based on nothing. That I would be very surprised if they blew things up given these particular circumstances.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to blow things up. More my point was, I mean, maybe blow things up was the wrong language to use there. My point more being that, they weren't going to make any significant moves if you spend the whole season without Joey Votto and Jay Bruce, fully healthy. That they're going to play this little game that they always tend to play of, well, those two guys will be healthy, so we'll be an improved team. And, so that was kind of more my point.
Well, but that's a dangerous game to play because this offense, even with Votto and Bruce playing well, is not a, you know, there are a lot of holes in this offense.
Right.
I mean, do you think they can really delude themselves to think that, well, these guys were hurt, we're going to be okay next year?
I don't know if it's so much of a delusion as a justification.
Well, yeah, but they've got to look at it realistically and say, hey, left field is a sinkhole. We've got to get something out of left field. If we're going to, you know, stick with Hamilton, he's going to give us what he's going to give us, but, you know, can we keep playing with a second baseman who doesn't provide much offense, you know?
The hard part is that you have to look at it and say, okay, well, what can we do to improve? And I'm not sure that you can look at what's out there and look at what the Reds have to offer in terms of trades or what they can afford in terms of free agency and say, okay, yeah, we can fix the problems with this team.
So we're just going to have to accept that the Reds stink offensively and just deal.
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't know. My point was that if you know they go the whole season without Votto and Bruce, they're going to.
Are you there?
sell, that's is more what they're going to. Did you lose me?
I lost you there for a second.
Oh no! I was saying really important stuff.
That's all right. But they're gonna sell it as this is the reason why we underperformed this year. Is that where you're going with that?
Yes. Yeah. So it's not so much that I think that they believe it. It's, you know, part of building a team is marketing the team, and sure. You know, if they're going to try to sell themselves as, you know, somewhat contenders, they would. I totally believe they would play up the. Well, we were hurt a lot last year, and not necessarily say as an excuse as much as saying we believe we'll be better this year because we believe we won't be hurt, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I were in the marketing department, that's where I would go as well. I mean, absolutely, that's a legitimate marketing ploy, and it's not untrue. I mean, the injuries have hurt them, but boy, if I felt like they were gonna sort of. That was their strategy, to just sort of hope that everybody's going to be healthy. That would really bother me. And I'm not saying that that's what Walt Jocketty and crew would do. You know, I think they're always looking for ways to improve the team. But as a strategy, hoping that you're going to be healthy didn't work this year. And we talked early before the season. The way the Reds can be healthy this year is only if they stay healthy, because the way they can be competitive is only if they stay healthy, because no depth. And as we've seen, that's killed them. They've got no depth.
Right, and I think that they look for ways to improve. I just don't think they have the ability to, and I think that that's what why they will fall back on the excuses. I guess, I mean, they are excuses, but they'll fall back on the excuses and the hope.
Yeah, yeah,
and it'll be disappointing. It will be. I don't think they look at this team. I don't think they realistically look at this team and they look at left field and say that there's something there that's not quite what there's something more there than what we're getting. I don't know how across the board they could have everybody in that front office look at that, because they're not highly incompetent, you know.
Right.
I'm not gonna judge whether or not they're incompetent. I'm not in on their meetings, and you know, they do have a track record of success over the last few years. Even if they haven't won in the playoffs, they have at least built a contending team. So I would never call them highly incompetent, to where you would see a team. I mean, the mid 2000s. I think those guys deluded themselves into believing they were actually building teams that were better than they were.
Absolutely, yes.
I get the impression that this current regime is to the point where they, and whether or not they recognize that it's because of the boat that they built for themselves, but I think that they recognize that they don't have the resources now to, fix the holes in the boat.
Do you think that going into the season, though, I said a moment ago, hope is not a strategy. Doesn't it seem from our vantage point, and you're right, we're not in on the meetings, and the fact that you're not in on the meetings it may be part of the problem. Maybe you should be in on the meetings, but doesn't it seem like a large part of the strategy for this season was based on hope? We hope we're going to be healthy. We hope Ludwig can return to 2012. We hope Brandon Phillips, can be a little bit better offensively because he was maybe injured last year. Doesn't it seem like too much in key positions? Too much of the strategy was, well, let's hope that these guys can do better. And maybe that wasn't the strategy. Maybe they just weren't able to improve in those areas. Maybe they tried. I don't have any problem believing that, but it just seemed like so much of the Reds' case for being competitive in 2014 was based on, well, let's hope this, and this happens. Does that make any sense?
I think you're right, and I think that both parts of that are right. I think that they did try. They did try to make improvements. I don't think that they were able to. I mean, obviously they weren't able to, but I don't think it was a matter of incompetence. I think that they don't have the money, and they don't have the resources to acquire – better players without money, without using money. And, the guys that they tried to trade, nobody wanted them. So I mean, I think it's those combinations of facts that force them to just kind of throw up their hands and say, well, I guess we got to hope for the best. And I'm not trying to excuse the front office. I'm just trying to understand kind of what they went through. And based on things that, I mean, just the stuff that I've heard, I think that they just were unable to. They were unable to achieve what they were doing or what their goal was. And it obviously shows. You know, when your best acquisition or your biggest acquisition in the offseason is Skip Schumacher, you're really not you're not accomplishing anything to improve a team that lost Shin-Soo Choo and was really kind of devoid of much of a threat on offense outside of maybe two or three players, even when you had Choo.
Well, let me speak for everyone when I say I'm not going to sit here and listen to you slander Skip Schumacher.
It's not. I mean, Schumacher may be fine in his.
He is
role,
what he is,
yeah. Right? You know, and that's not. I'm not trying to bash Schumacher. They just needed somebody better than Schumacher.
Yeah.
You know, they're not. As Richard had an excellent piece up on Red Leg Nation today about, you know, the clubhouse culture.
Culture, and, right?
Yeah. Maybe Schumacher will improve that. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need somebody to kind of get in people's face and kind of push them beyond what their abilities are. But your abilities are still the primary thing that is going to drive your success. Focusing, you know, you do need somebody there to help you focus your abilities, and you need somebody to kind of push the pedal to the metal when you need to be ridden. You know, in our Wire to Wire book, John wrote an excellent portion of the book talking about Lou Piniella, and he kind of compared him to a jockey on a horse. And you got to know when to, you know, to slap the horse and push the horse, and then you got to know when to kind of pull back a little bit and let the horse kind of ease into its own gallop and find its own pace. And you need guys like that on your team that can kind of help, you know, help do that to the play, because there are going to be players that just aren't able to do that for themselves. However, you can have all of the best motivators in the world in your roster, and you can have a perfectly organized chemistry, but if you don't have guys that have the ability to actually succeed, it's not going to matter as much. You may win five extra games that way, but if you only had an 80-win team in the first place, you're only an 85-win team. You know, so it's the talent is what rules in the first play, you know, first of all. And then after that, you know, when you have that talent, if you have a 90-win talent, having a guy like Skip Schumacher come in there and kind of be a good motivating force within the roster makes sense. I'm not sure if it made sense on this roster. Hopefully. You know, hopefully I'm misjudging the talent of this roster, but I don't think that, you know, Skip Schumacher was the guy that was going to turn them into a 92-win team.
Right, and I share your concern that given the contracts they've got out there and the budget issues they may have and the state of the minor league system and in terms of just pieces that can be moved around, I wouldn't want to be in Walt Jockety's position, frankly, trying to figure out how to improve this team, because it's going to be difficult. I mean, it's just going to be difficult. You know, we talk about Brandon Phillips and we think they've tried to move him. Clearly, they tried to move him in the off season. There's just not, my opinion, just not a market for Brandon Phillips out there right now. And let's talk about Phillips just for a moment, if you don't mind. Phillips, mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier 293 on base percentage this season. You know, 395 slugging percentage. It looks to me like he's a guy. He's. I looked it up because we talked about it earlier. He's sixth on the team in wins above replacement right now. So he's a behind Frazier, Mesoraco, Heisey, Hamilton, Votto, and Phillips. Or Phillips is behind those guys. His value is really at this point almost entirely tied up with his glove.
Mm-hmm.
And should I be as scared as I am? I guess I'll just say it. I'm That's a scary thought to me, that we've got a second baseman whose value is entirely tied up in his glove when he's a 33-year-old, soon-to-be 33-year-old middle infielder who continues to exhibit a decline offensively. What are they going to do with that position over the next 3 years? It's going to be Brandon Phillips. They can't deal him.
Part of the problem that they're going to face is that his skills are declining, but I don't think that he is recognizing that. And I hope that there was some talk early in the season that Joey Votto may have given up on his power too early. I kind of feel that way, that he injured his knee and thought that he lost his power and has moved more into focusing too much on on-base percentage, which is a little funny to say, but he clearly seems cognizant of the fact that he needs to focus on those skills that are going to allow him to extend his career. And I feel like maybe he's doing that a year or two too early, probably. I'm a little concerned that Brandon Phillips does not recognize that his skills are declining and therefore is not making the adjustments that he needs to make in order to deal with that fact. You know what I'm saying?
Too
much on a Joey Votto tangent there.
I think you're right on regarding Votto and certainly regarding Phillips. Phillips is a guy who, starting 2011, on-base percentage declined, 2012, 2013, 2014. Slugging percentage declined each of those years. And we're talking about just, 55 games into this season, but has declined across the board offensively. There's been a decline. And what worries me is that what value he still has, and he still has some value, it worries me that if he's not going to make those adjustments, that it's really entirely in his glove. And I don't like the idea of expecting a 33-year-old second baseman's glove to continue to be good. It's been good. We love watching Brandon Phillips flash the leather. It really concerns me about what we're in for over the next couple years because, and I don't know, it's easier said than done to tell him to change his approach or whatever. I don't know how to do that. I batted .212 in Little League, but that scares me to death as a fan of the Reds that we're going to have a guy whose his glove cannot continue to be as good as it's been. It can't be. Historically, it can't be. And with his back continuing to decline, that's going to quickly become a serious albatross around the Reds' neck.
I didn't quite finish my thought on him.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I didn't know you were going to talk the whole time.
No. You did not interrupt me. Hey, look. I mean, you've told me before that this is I'm why people listen, right?
Well,
I'm just here to try to hear myself talk anyway. So,
all right, you win. Proceed,
I'm
sir.
I'm kidding. I did not mean to cut you off. You actually didn't cut me off. I kind of realized that I hadn't made the original point that I was trying to make, which was I'm actually not as worried about his defense declining as you are. Eventually it's going to, and he doesn't show major signs of it at this point, so I'm not incredibly worried about it.
Okay, so you don't think that's necessarily going to happen immediately?
No, it might. I mean, it very well could. Part of the reason stuff like that happens is because, guys get injured because they get older and it's easier to get injured. So, if he throws out his back one game and then all of a sudden he's got back issues, it's going to affect him defensively. So, yeah, it could happen. If he can stay reasonably healthy, I'm not as concerned about that happening. It'll start to decline, but he's got a nice little padding in there,
right,
that he can afford to lose some defensive decline. My big concern offensively, and the reason why I was going on to that little rant about how he doesn't appear to recognize that his offensive skills are in decline, is that he is still going to bat 2, 3, 4 in the lineup, somewhere in there, because of who he is, because of how if all of a sudden they decided to move him to 6th or 7th in the lineup, it's not going to go over easily. So my concern is that he is going to He's declining offensively, and he's still going to bat in an important offensive position. And so that is the number one reason why I hope that he starts to recognize I need to make adjustments. My numbers are falling here. He doesn't seem like the kind of player that does, you know, that recognizes that kind of stuff. I hope I'm wrong about that.
Well, you are correct that he is still good with the glove. Very good. I mean, there's no question about that. And maybe I'm just, again, glass fully empty, worried that I see his age and I see the way second basemen have generally declined over the years when they start getting into their mid-30s. Maybe I'm just worrying too much. You're right. There's a little cushion there, and he is still very good with the glove. Maybe not as good as he was. But very few are anywhere as good as he was at his best with the glove. So I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too concerned about Brandon Phillips.
I'll be honest. I don't like the numbers that I see from him. He is not the guy that I'm worried about right now. I'm much more concerned about left field.
Yeah.
About center field. About Bruce struggling. Bruce actually really the guy I'm worried. I mean, I'm not worried about in the sense that I think he's done. The guy I'm worried about is Bruce. The guy that needs to really pick up his game is Bruce. Now, if Bruce were hitting well, then I'd be all over Phillips.
All right.
I'm not right now.
You're right. You're right. Given the production levels, we've spent too much time talking about Brandon Phillips, and maybe not enough about Bruce, because it's almost inconceivable how bad Jay Bruce has been. I mean, hurt or not, slumps or not, golly, this guy, he's been miserable. And I keep saying, well, he's going to be better. He's Jay Bruce.
Right.
But if he doesn't get better, we're in for a world of hurt. Enough about this offense. Why do you keep wanting to talk about the offense? Let's talk about something else. Anything else at all we can talk about? How about the pitching? Still pretty good. It's starting pitching, maybe not as good as it was at its best, but Cueto's still looking great. We still like Johnny Cueto, right? We talk about this team not being a fun team to watch, but Cueto's still fun to watch, right?
Yeah, I like Johnny Cueto.
I like Johnny Cueto.
I'm a Johnny Cueto fan. And you know what? Let's do this. Let's talk about Mike Leake.
How about it? How about talking about Mike Leake, that guy?
Yeah, you know, and where did I read? I read a quote recently that maybe it's an article that a friend of mine is writing. Perhaps I shouldn't bring it up. But anyway, there was a quote that Johnny Cueto learned to become the pitcher that he is partly from watching Mike Leake pitch, that he learned to work the plate a little better and that kind of stuff from seeing how Mike Leake does it. He's had better stuff than Mike Leake. So I said, kudos to Mike Leake for making Johnny Cueto part of the pitcher that who he is today. And I'm sorry if I ruined an article for everybody else, but I thought,
well, number one,
if they're going to send it to me in email, they got to accept it every once in a while. I'm going to forget that it wasn't public information yet.
Well, that's fascinating. And if it's not been published yet, I hope you'll send us the link when you do get that, tweet that out or something. That's because that's interesting. Leake, you say he's been good, actually, but I'm looking at his numbers. He's only 3-4 in terms of his one loss record. So I think you're probably overrating him.
I may be.
3-4, I think. You're the stat guy, but I think 3-4 is below 500.
It's actually, besides Tony Cingarani, it's the worst record in the starting rotation.
So when are they going to send him to AAA is my question.
I don't know. It's not nearly as good as Homer Bailey and his 5-3 record.
And Bailey has been outstanding, am I right? Yeah. Bailey's not been as bad as his numbers would indicate, but he's not been as good as Mike Leake.
No. Every once in a while, and Mike Leake is a lot like Bronson Arroyo. They're not front of the line starters, but they are guys that more often than not are going to go out there and give you a pretty good outing and make you. And I'll be the first to admit that I didn't think Mike Leake was for real last year, and maybe he's not for real. Maybe he's still kind of just floating along, outperforming what we would expect. But I'll take if he's our third or fourth best pitcher, fine.
What you just said is exactly the thing we said about Bronson Arroyo every single year. You know, he's not this good, right? He can't keep this up, you know, and he keeps outperforming what we expect, but he just keeps on doing his thing, and you know, he's a smart pitcher and changes speeds and moves the ball around, and you look up and he's got a 2.92 ERA, and all of a sudden, number four starter. This guy is, I think probably at some point, I don't know if it'll be in Cincinnati, but he's probably going to make a lot of money in the major league,
yeah.
Because he just keeps doing what he's doing. I love watching him pitch. You know, you look at his earned run average, obviously, and that's if you want to look at earned run average,
yeah, pretty well.
It's good. It's but his fielding independent numbers are good across the board. Looks good. Homer Bailey's the guy that who you look at his fielding independent numbers starts to look much better than what everyone thinks, because whenever Bailey has a bad start, the wailing and gnashing of teeth begins on Twitter.
You know, Bailey's moved into that position of, hey, this guy makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
So the people that don't like the fact that baseball players make a lot of money, or like to raise expectations for pitchers or players because they make a lot of money, get all, you know, upset when a guy doesn't perform to where their expectations. And then you get the counteract of, you know, everybody who likes this guy gets very defensive about him.
Right.
You know.
And we got some of those guys at Red Leg Nation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's lots of those guys. I mean, there's lots of those guys. I can be like that sometimes about Joey Votto even. You know, so it's, you know, we all kind of fall into that one side or the other a lot of times.
That was me with Adam Dunn, you know.
Sort yes. Of, yeah. Well, I mean, I was the same way. I was the same way, too. Anyway, my point was going to be, if we're being honest, Homer Bailey has not been as good as we need him to be.
Right.
He hasn't been as bad as people seem to think he's been, as some people seem to think he's been.
Right.
So there's a common ground in there.
Yeah. Those are not incompatible thoughts. He needs to be better, but he's not been awful, but needs to be better.
Right. Right. So
you can say that about a lot of guys, actually.
Yeah.
On this team,
he would not be the focus of my ire on this team,
But there's that like sense out there, and Votto gets the brunt of that as well. Making a lot of money. Why doesn't he have a 2.5 ERA? Why doesn't he have a 2.92 ERA like Mike Leake? You gave the wrong guy the money.
Yeah. And I mentioned it one time that I wish. Sometimes I wish that we didn't know what baseball players got paid.
Oh, I agree.
And when you really think about it, it is kind of weird that we do know, because what benefit is there to us? Now, during the off season, I love it because I think those make for fun conversations and trying to decide who should get paid what and that kind of stuff. I think it's fun. But when a guy is out on the mound, the last thing I'm worried about, or if he's in the batter's box, the last thing I'm worried about is how much the guy makes. Because he makes what he makes. There's nothing you can do to change that. And these baseball contracts is that you're paying a guy.
Yeah, it amazes me that people are so caught up in it. Because I watch a game and I never, ever think about how much this guy's making. And to some people, evidently, that's the first thing they think of. It's not coming out of my pocket necessarily. I guess indirectly it is, but, it doesn't do us any good to know that, but obviously the players want it to be public, frankly, because it helps them. In the days when it wasn't public, the clubs had all the power and they could pay them whatever they wanted to, and obviously it's a different day and age now. But, Homer Bailey, you know, I don't expect him to have I keep saying ERA like that's some kind of statistic we need to be looking at, and I understand that's a faulty statistic, but that's what the guy that looks in the newspaper sees his ERA next to the box score and says, wait a minute, why is Homer Bailey's ERA over 5? Why is he not getting paid? Why is Mike Leake not getting paid? His ERA is under 3, so who cares? Continue doing well, Mike Leake. Do a little bit better for us, Homer Bailey. I don't care what you make. I hope you all get paid a lot. Certainly, certainly other guys are getting paid. The players might as well get paid. They're the ones earning it. So,
so So it appears we've had some technical difficulties there, which seems like probably, and I just talked to Joel, he agrees, seems like a pretty good place that we should just wrap this one up. Thank you for listening to another edition of Red Leg Nation Radio. I hope the technical difficulties, and I hope my voice, I know I've got this crazy twang, but I hope that my voice, given the fact that I'm suffering from some allergies, hasn't bothered you, and I hope you the coughing that you may have heard in the background hasn't bothered you too much. Been one of those weeks, but you know you got to really give me credit. Come on, I fought through this these allergies and this congestion just to do another podcast for you guys. I mean, that's really what I'm willing to do for you. Yeah, all right, whatever. I hope you'll tell all your friends about Red Leg Nation Radio. I hope you go to redlegnationradio.com. Subscribe via iTunes. If you enjoy us, go to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. If you don't enjoy us, number one, why have you listened this far? Number two, just keep your mouth shut. We don't need you telling anybody about us if you don't like it. But do subscribe via iTunes or RSS using your favorite podcast catcher. I hope you'll follow us at RedLegNation.com every day. All the best Reds news and notes from whatever's going on in the world of the Cincinnati Reds. Follow at RedLegNation on Twitter. Follow me at DotsonC, D-O-T-S-O-N-C if you wish. Follow Joel on Twitter at J-L-U-C-K-H-A-U-P-T. Got to spell that one every time because I'm not sure there is a correct way to spell that name. But that's the way Joel spells it. Fun episode tonight in some ways. There are reasons for optimism, maybe. I don't know. This has been an interesting Red season thus far. We'll be back with you again next week trying to figure out what's going on with this crazy team. For Joel Luckup, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.